Foundation. May I help you?
Yes, you may. My name is Tim Carter. I'm one of Reverend Jim Jones' assistants, and I'd like to speak with John Maher, if I could, please.
Mr. Maher isn't in right now. Could I take a message?
Yes, it was regarding a service tomorrow, and he mentioned he might be able to stop by, so I was calling to confirm that. But I wanted to speak to him also. Do you have any idea when he might be back in?
You want to hold on for a moment? Let me
sure.
Call upstairs, see if I can find out.
Sure.
We've brought out in our people's forum of 600,000 circulation. We thought it was an injustice.
Some sisters are talking about the Catholic Church of the supporting. We should took money from Catholics. You hear her last night? She took money from Catholics. They said, our priest praised you, your church, and yourself from the, from his pulpit.
I guess a lot of them have no choice. Some of them get
it. They don't wish they had it, man.
Something like that.
Should have always remembered our teaching about nonviolence.
You should have remembered our teachings. Practice of nonviolence. It's too bad you didn't. You quit visiting us a year ago. You know, it's too bad you quit visiting a year ago, because someone certainly has been. Someone must have given you awful advice to have reacted that way to an officer. We certainly are praying for you, and our love goes out to you. Is there any other minister, any other church that you want to visit you or to write you? Did you have membership in any other church after you quit coming to ours? Something like that, you know, that we see little things build. When we told you had to quit certain things, quit using marijuana, little things lead to big things. Little things lead. When we told you had to quit marijuana, you couldn't remain in our church.
One day we begin to talk about people who are not only doing things, but people who are really bringing about change in our society. One cannot talk about it at all unless one mentions the name, the Reverend Jim Jones. Jim Jones, who is the pastor of the People's Temple Christian Church, is charismatic, is unique, is serious about what he's doing, is an excellent spokesman, a great articulator. What else can I say about you,
Jim?
Except the fact that I'm delighted that you're on our show today. Thank you very much. And we're going to be talking to this man and what he's about as soon as we come back.
Dissolve effect.
Right there.
And face
black. Reverend Jim Jones, People's Temple Christian Church. You know, I really don't sit and talk with personalities on a one-to-one basis that often. But when I do, I try to bring to you, the viewers, the very most important people in regards to this kind of thing. And I brought to you a minister. You know, that's something that's very difficult for me to do unless he's a unique minister. And here he is. Here's the man today. Jim, I'm amazed by you. I really many times can't find words because you are sometimes indescribable. You're a very important person, a very powerful person. You are a prophet in his time and ahead of his time.
I'm sorry,
Jim,
is that accurate?
How did you come about doing what you're doing? Starting what you're starting, moving in the direction that you're moving.
Saw the need, I guess, and responded to it the best I could. It always seems insignificant to see so compared to the vast needs around you. Mm-hmm. That's how I got started. Just looking at the needs.
Cecil on two.
And when he talks about looking at the needs, related to a lot of needs, not only in Northern California and in the state of California, but needs throughout the country, as well as needs throughout the world. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about some of those needs, but let's focus in on it. Why did you go in the direction you're going? Why did you say, look, we got to meet some needs and go about getting at those?
Which direction? I feel like I'm the jack of all trades, sometimes a master of none. Which direction?
All right, let's just talk about one in particular, Jim. One has to do with the fact that, first of all, one of the things that you do is when it comes to issues, and especially when it comes to defending people who have to face injustices, you are always there, one way or the other. I think about, for instance, the situation in regards to the communications industry, the press.
Well, I thought Nixon was coming down severely upon the press. And, of course, without the Fourth and Fifth Estate, where are we? As exposed, certainly as clarified very clearly in the Watergate situation. And we were concerned about the repression that this represented, so we felt that we had to get out there and represent different newsmen who were under attack because of their sources. And I guess our support funding spread all over the United States, FAR first, and then Fresno B, and then we gave monies to various news associations. I'm very concerned about a free press.
Some even here in the Bay Area.
Oh, yes, yes.
In regards to the free press, what were you really trying to say? That it should take place. That, in fact, any information that press feels that it must keep confidential, it should be given that right.
It has to, because of the intimidations that we've seen in such instances as Watergate. The press has to be able to keep their sources, and I felt that our whole democratic fabric was being threatened. Not only myself, but our congregation near 8,000. It wasn't something unique to me. We were very much concerned that the press has the right to monitor society and be able to regulate excesses or help to bring conscience to the community. We just felt there was nothing left for us to do. We had to respond, because it seemed that Mr. Nixon was on a tirade against the press.
And yet there are times, Jim, that you and I and others are approached by the press, and they do disservice to us. Some. Every once in a while, you know, we get into, we are misquoted, we are taken out of context and that kind of thing. How do we deal with that kind of thing, you know, when it happens to you? So you often in the press, you often quoted, you often talked about.
I don't know what one can do. I guess we have to take our chances for the negative aspects in order to allow the press to be free. We have to take the chance that there'll be a few that will practice yellow journalism, and I think there are a few. You and I know one and a bit of both. So I don't get too much worried about it, as long as they print my, as the old saying, they can print my name right in the paper. But we have to take the chance for the excess. I think it hurts when press is not responsible. I've seen that in your case. In one case, I've seen it with myself. But still, the press is the bulwark of democracy.
Jim, you've taken a chance. You've taken a chance because you've got all kinds of people in the People's Temple Christian Church. How far does your constituency extend? In how many places?
Well, we have 8,000 in San Francisco. Then we have a church that I've founded. We're all related with the Disciples of Christ, which is a 2 million denomination. And then I have 10,000 members in our Los Angeles parish. I don't know the breakdown in Fresno and Bakersfield and Sacramento, but it's pretty sizable. Then Redwood Valley, California, we have a pretty sizable congregation up north in around the Ukiah area.
Why did you begin to work with various racial and ethnic groups, trying to bring them together?
Seems to me that, of course, it's just right that we be together. And I thought, of all places, if Jesus Christ did not teach inclusiveness, he said we were our brother's keeper and God is no respecter of persons. And certainly, I believe in a voluntary type of approach to social problems. I'm somewhat Jeffersonian, that the government that governs least governs best. If the church doesn't take its responsibility, where are we? It seemed to me that the church had to initiate responsibility here.
Well, you've taken a great deal of responsibility. For instance, let's talk just a little bit about some of the things that you engaged in regards to the treatment of people. One in particular, drugs, people that strung out on dope, things like that. What do you do, Jim? What have you come up on in regards to that kind of issue? How do you get at that kind of issue with people?
In our situation, we bring them into our homes. I've had many in my life.
It might help KPIX in terms of getting that continued audience.
We've never had
somehow get in a just 10-second Jim Johnson
pitch. Love is right into our illumination, and just a little bit of love. You don't have to have a great deal of professional skill. Our recidivism rate is very low on heroin, for instance. But the savvy professional know-how, I don't think we have so much in that area. We have some psychologists working with us. But I say the great achievement's been made by the nuclear family, where someone will just take someone into their home. Of course, those 2 days in the draw, you have to tell this, and we go through that, and that's a hell indescribable.
Yeah. Withdrawal, I guess, is a very difficult
thing. Terrible.
Yeah. Takes you a lot of your time, too, doesn't it?
Great deal.
Jim, you got involved in one particular case of a black young woman.
Ray Ducker.
That's right. Tell us a little bit about what happened.
She was an amazing person. She came hooked on a habit of about $400 a day. And of course, she was involved in every type of crime that she could possibly get into to maintain that habit. And as she went along, of course, it was no time, but she completely rehabilitated herself. I think a lot of that, I have to give the emphasis on the individual. We gave her support, acceptance, and she had a very prestigious job. But we found out later that she had actually left probation. She had been a fugitive from two different sentences. And when she brought this to our attention, the church decided, well, we're going to get in there and fight to straighten up her record. And we were able to achieve that by solidarity and appealing to the probation department. And the judge was most sympathetic. He allowed her probation to continue. And I think it's going to be finished about May 7th, I believe.
You know, I'm just going to move along with you here because we've got so much to cover, Jim. Let's talk about other people that you've given support, other causes that you've given support. For instance, Angela Davis. You did support her.
Really?
Why did you feel that you had to support her?
I believe that when one person's rights are affected, everyone is. We supported John Bircher on one occasion. It seemed to me that Angela was the victim of political oppression. I don't care whether she's a communist or she's a member of the Nazi Party. I believe in the First Amendment rights. I think that's very essential. It was Pastor Niemöller said, when they came for the communists, I did nothing because I wasn't a communist. They came for the Jews, and I had typical Protestant prejudices, and I didn't react. When they came for the Catholics and the trade union, the same type of response. When they got around to coming after me, there was nobody left to defend it. And I think it was enlightened self-interest. I don't believe we can restrict anyone's right of freedom of speech.
Well, you know, now that puts you in a category of being, you know, you could easily be called a communist just by supporting the rights of a communist.
I don't care what they call me. I don't really care.
Jim, you've been involved in a more recent defense standing up for a person, namely Dennis Banks. Now, before we get into that, I just got a sign from the man who said, take a break. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk to Jim Jones about Dennis Banks. We're talking to Jim Jones, the Reverend Jim Jones from the People's Temple Christian Church. A vast number of people that he's brought together, all colors, all ethnic backgrounds, all socioeconomic levels. Jim, you have been working very hard to guarantee at least Dennis some equity in regards to what he's going through as it relates to his extradition. What are you doing in regards to Dennis Banks at this point? What have you done? I read a very fascinating story not too long ago about something that you did in bringing his family and other things. Tell us about it.
His wife committed
arrested in another state.
He
suffered a great deal of maltreatment. Baby was born behind bars and armed to a woman. And so she wasn't allowed the normal process of the breast to be, or the milk to be taken care of, so that she developed infection. She'd been there for 4 months. We fell with the congregation. We had to respond. David Banks is a good man. We've helped a lot of people since then. And when they get their help, they're gone. The moment we helped this man, I think we raised $20,000 for his farm, for her. He came back time and time again, responding with such graciousness and seeing warmth and compassion. He went before a congregation of several thousand, and it was really spontaneous. This is a good man. I think Skirmerhorn said to the Examiner that all of his witnesses and even his counsel had been intimidated back in the state where he had come from. And even the Iowa Methodist Conference put up his bond. They said he had no other choice but to leave because there was even threats put out on every one of his witnesses. Right. And most people have the feeling, and one of the, I think, one of the district attorneys said that he becomes back the best, said the best resolution to lose our We have to face the fact that the one who was arrested, which is Annie, I've forgotten her last name, they said she died of exposure, but there was pressure brought to bear, and she was exhumed, and they found the bullet at close range. It looks pretty much like a conspiracy.
See, that's why you're so important, because you get out there when the water is rough. You see, you get out there when the wind is blowing very strong, maybe currents against people. And you, in many ways, and the people that you work with, help change that current and that tide in regards to the lives of people. I want to deal with that in just a few minutes, but I want to get at some. You did something in the Tenderloin area for the senior citizens. They were about to lose protection, you know. What happened in that situation? That's my area now. You know, that's where I'm located. Yet you come down there. Get in on the problems that we face down there.
You get in the problems everywhere, so we come here and help you out a little bit.
Thank you.
This situation touched us. Here was an interracial group of ex-Vietnam veterans who had a warm relationship with a deeply warm family relationship with predominantly white citizens who had no love in their life, couldn't even get someone to give them some groceries. And out of their salary, their meager salaries, they were helping support these senior citizens in that area. And so again, the church felt that they should respond. The program was about to go down the tubes, and we came up with the $6,000 that tied them over until they got funded. Now they're funded, and I'm very happy that that was one of the successes.
There's another thing I want to say to our viewers today also, is that on November 30th last year, when I had sort of like a culmination of my 10 years in San Francisco, and we called it the Change Agents Coming Together, Celebration for Change. At that particular time, the Center for Self-Determination, a new program that we began at Collide, had a benefit. And it was Jim Jones who brought 1,500 people to that benefit, who bought tickets. Close to $6,000 worth of tickets to that benefit. It was this man who and his people that did that. Jim, let's go on. I want to publicly say that to the people about what you've done for me too, my man. But not only that, just being a brother and being a close friend where we can talk with each other.
Well, I wasn't doing it for you personally, see, so I think the community has to realize that if they are concerned about tyranny, communistic or fascistic, they better support groups such as yourself that get involved in everything and show the people that feel alienated that they have a chance to work within society. So it wasn't just a personal friendship. We approve of the things you're doing.
Thank you, my man. Thank you. Let's talk about something that you've got going in other countries. South America.
Yes.
You've got quite a resourceful relationship and some very fascinating things taking place down there. What are you engaged in?
We have an agricultural mission there on several thousand acres that have been granted us, and we've acquired from the Republic of Guyana. And we've been, for instance, last week we brought in 60,000 pounds of yams. That goes a long way to help with the poverty. Plus, it's not a paternalistic type of Christian mission. We give employment to about 200 people. And again, that helps to alter the ugly American image.
Sure.
And combat the forces of tyranny, right, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that kind of response certainly does a lot. Where you say, you know, it's important to get jobs. It's not important. But you see, that's the way you are. You do that constantly. You made your stand. You keep making your stand. You will continue to make your stand. You know, the interesting thing about this man is the fact that that you have a lot of resources in regards to taking care of not only people, but animals. Well, what do you do there, Jim? Why did you get interested in animals?
Hey, Les? I'm very sensitive about animals, but actually, just to life, there's some sort of correlation, and I wouldn't want to generalize. I've noticed people who are hardened to animals often carry their own hardened to humans. Of course, you have strange contradictions with some animals, and give all sorts of regard as having people be for his animal, and you have no regard for human beings. But we feel that you have to have sensitivity to total life.
Once we finish coming back from the break, taking as many animals as we can, and treating them with such cruel treatment.
I'm sure you're familiar with the way they're exterminating. Some of them are crowded into that, the gas chamber net, for one that throws 16, 17 dogs in this kind of a situation. We're just opposed to cruelty. We like to help wherever there's need, and there's a great need of animals. And so
they find a lot of members.
they're
very dedicated to take on projects like little projects like rummage and bake sale and concession stand. And they donate. They know where their money goes.
Nurse practitioners and RNs, particularly senior citizens.
I don't know, it might be raised. I'll go out with ultrasonic treatment that we can give for everybody.
Oh, yes. Anybody?
You wouldn't hold back on anybody?
No, there's no membership requirement.
No. They don't have to become members, or do they have to start following some kind of discipline that you put on their heads?
I don't believe in this having to say a prayer before you get out.
That's what I was getting at. Exactly. Jim,
2 minutes.
You do have a great chemistry. One thing that's involved in it has to do with something that you and I call a healing ministry, both of us. And a lot of people talk about the healing ministry. I had a sister who had cancer 12 years ago. She was operated on. The doctors gave her, said in 3 months she would die. My sister is still alive. Teaching school, back to hell. It was cancer of the pancreas. Very serious.
Considered incurable.
She's fine today. She had a lot of faith. She said, I will not give up at this point. Talk a little bit about that.
There's a place indeed for responsible, sane spiritual healing. It must be in conjunction with medical science because we know there's no panacea. We've had similar admissions. I was just thinking while you talked of a lovely Russian lady metastasis of cancer was so thorough that each of her lymph glands were swollen like a ball. And similarly, she had faith. Give purpose. There's a tremendous dimension that we're unfamiliar with. And of course, if even the Soviet Union, a materialistic nation supposedly, is spending, $12 million a year or something like that, to study paranormal faculty, therapeutic healing, many medical scientists now, nursing schools, medical schools, are emphasizing therapeutic healing, the laying on of hands in direct correlation with physical treatment. So undoubtedly there's a dimension there that the responsible church must take over. And if we don't, what are we going to leave it to? The type that says, trust God and don't go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So many of the people involved in healing are not medical science, and many then die. I think they do far more harm than good because they'll keep people from going to medical science. When we find someone who thinks they have a healing, we say, get to the doctor and verify it.
Good. We've got to take a break and we'll come right back and conclude our program with the Reverend Jim Jones. Jim Jones. Jim, where do you get your money from? How do the people, how do you maintain all these great programs that you're part of, that you give leadership to? How do you maintain it?
People are pretty generous when they see how their money is being used. They see different results. You've got a community center, an indoor swimming pool, all these guests. I think we have a novel thing in geriatric centers where the senior citizens themselves manage and direct. The only input is the manual labor. You don't dictate to them about their diet, the decor, everything. When I see results, people give generously. We don't have a mandate about tithing, some do. But of course, we have a large membership, and that explains the support. And they'll put on projects of various sorts. We get no outside help from the community to speak of, but our people are very, very generous.
Jim, where are we going to go? Where are we going? In terms of society, of America, of the world, where are we going to go? Can you give it to me in 30 seconds?
I think we have to be very careful that we must do something about the alienation of the ethnic groups and racism. Roy Wilkins, a conservative in the Senate that just retired, we've got a problem, and we've got to overcome that because a house divided against itself can't stand. We must do something about racism quickly.
Here's a man, I have to tell you, that I think is a, if I, you know, being honest, I think he's a genius, I think he's a prophet, he's charismatic, he's one of our great leaders. I'm glad to be associated with you. Brother, we're going to stay together, because I know if I stay with you, we're going to make it. We'll bring about justice. Walk that walk and talk that talk, and be that be, and love that love, and struggle that struggle. Look for us. We'll be there.
Dissolve effects. Change F7. Change F7. Change F7. Ready, black. And black.
Fine.
I guess. I don't like the latest recently. I heard the same thing that I heard is not true. You can tell what's going on, she's bad publicity. And of course, it tells everything about everyone being printed in the newspaper. I'm also respecting privacy, not some information public requires, justifies the privacy. I didn't say it that much. Chicken discussed with you or this guy, and you can maybe get him over there.
I think it's gone.
That's like the thing we put in about you saving those dogs.
Well, Claire, you can come up with. I just thought. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
It's more realistic. You can't hardly pin down this. There is a child in the street.
That's the first place.
Well, I think it's
something. He broke up a fight. He broke up a fight where a young man was attacking, trying to use a knife on an older man was trying to use a knife on a young man. And he broke up the fight and saved the kid, which could have been stabbed.
He's now a graduate of Hastings. He's a graduate of Hastings Law School and working on
Hastings Law School, and he worked in the.
He's on the DA staff.
Medicine County District Attorney's.
On a staff.
You're asking too much.
I guess staff. Ask him staff.
Can you say Cartmel's on the DA staff?
Duncan James is the District Attorney's staff. I put the name in. Because when Stone goes, our enemies up there think we got no protection. Well, what dumpers and I don't shit it. You go shit bricks.
Use some shit bricks. Nobody in the damn century city of California would take that kind of thing to our family babies unless they went through grand jury.
You know where you can take a 6 month trial and say, I don't know, I'm a library at all.
No, they wouldn't give it to that condition.
They said we have resumes of Harvard Law Review types that you couldn't believe.
John should say, I believe he's the firstborn of many brethren. He was an example for all of us to follow. Do you believe anyone else is like Jesus Christ? Well, I believe everybody can.
John?
All right, next we have Ronnie James and Anita Kelly.
have them saying that they really don't think too much of it one way or another.
I have a question. Those two individuals in the same article that brought you here.
Yeah.
We have them married. I don't know if
they're
crazy. You might see that picture.
Well, they just got married.
Wait.
What's this?
The what? Article in the Sentinel, which is a picture of you, Ronnie, Anita, and John Harrison Crooks were all together.
No, that's an Oakland tribute.
I just thought it
might be a consideration having them married. She, could have been just a misspelling, Eye James.
Did she sit the Tribune? Did she get the Tribune? I never gave her the Tribune. Did you give the Tribune?
No, I didn't.
You can't say. You better stick your name. What is, who else was in that on, and then that? That was Ronnie James and Anita Kelly.
Well, Ronnie James married Anita. Anita. Just got married. John, he married. So John Harris, that's all right. There's a lot of John Harrisons. He didn't on welfare. Yeah.
What is it? Not... Okay, they believe, they don't think much of it one way or another.
Well, one of them, both of them. Ronnie should say, I don't think much about it, one way or the other. Anita said, well, I believe in the traditional, I think somebody else said, I believe in the traditional teachings of the Christian Church. About it. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. God is the Father of all living things. You got that, Anita?
Yeah.
In fact, you should get it in there somewhere. All right, what else?
Okay, Dick Trop and Lois.
I bet you we don't get much of this kind of question. Go on, what?
Dick Trop and Lois.
What?
I got them not believing in it and not believing in anything. That's
he's Jewish. I lost my loved ones in German concentration camps. Lost too many of them. I don't have faith in a benevolent being, a benevolent divinity. And she should say, well, I do. But I'm not anthropomorphic about it. Can you remember that? Anthropomorphic about it. She's probably not going to go any further than that. Anthropomorphic. Can you keep saying that word over to her? It means you don't project human, your image into God. What do you mean? I don't make God after my image. I cannot fathom what God is. It's first cause. You got that? First cause? Christ is the human side of God. That's a new twist. She'll think we're... Okay, what else?
Okay, next we have Peter and Mary Weatherford.
What about them?
And I got them saying yes, they believe in...
There's
a heaven, but there's no hell.
Well, everybody's saying that.
Your line runs, you show your absence of theology. Peter says, huh? No, fuck no karma. Don't get no karma. Don't get no karma. Don't you mention that word karma. They'll throw us right in the alcohol. Stay away from that karma, reincarnation, all that shit. I would say, huh?
That's Catholic,
yes. Well, Peter came and said, I came from a background to believe in purgatory. Being in this church, I'm more concerned about humanitarian things. I don't think about theological things. Peter, got that?
Got it?
I got it.
You need a belief in where he's
at. Mary, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and God is the creator of the universe. Huh? Yes, Archie.
It was pretty conflict in my answer. I said, not only be immortality, but also perpetuity of life.
What?
I wouldn't have. It would have been a conflict in my answer if I said yes, I believe in immortality and perpetuity of life.
I said, no problem. No problem. Go ahead.
Okay. Next, we have Tim Carter and Christine Yannis.
Mr. and Mrs. Carter.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Carter.
Go ahead.
I've got them saying here that they don't really think
much of it, one way or another.
All right.
Okay. Okay, then we have Cemetery of Rambo.
They don't take both of them take it, they don't take anything on the right way.
Well, wouldn't it be good to have some couples agreeing on it?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it's coming up on those kind of questions the same. I think it shows more creativity, no. But the card says what? I say I come to church here because of what this minister and the people do, or this congregation does for people.
Some people could agree on that one. Good name.
And what?
If he said that, some other
people... Yeah, others could say, yeah, that's true. If there's a background. Yeah, that's true. A few of you could. And she says, well, I'm disciple in my teachings. Disciples, the disciples of Christ teach that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Savior of the world. And God is love. Got that? Christine? Go next. Go.
All right, next we have Jimmy Harriet Rambo. And I got them both saying no. This is definitely
the next Harriet should say, I'm Jewish and I do not have a personal belief in God. I believe much on the great Judeo traditions, the Hebrew traditions and culture. He should say, I came from the Southern Baptist Church. He sounds a little bit Southern. I come from the Southern Baptist Church, and I guess I still hold some of its theology, which is orthodox, but I'm not as orthodox as I used to be. All right?
Okay, next we have Hugh and Rhonda Fortune. And I got them saying that they don't believe one way or another as far as an afterlife, but that hell seems to be to them poverty and starvation on earth.
I'd say hell, Hugh, I would say hell is the absence of love. In heaven, I've always been taught to believe in. My mom and dad taught me to believe in heaven. Personally, I take it by faith. Got that? Rhonda should say, I believe in immortality. Jesus brought it to light through the gospel. Got that? Somebody can quote scripture in the goddamn place, I guess. Go ahead.
Okay, Paul Flowers and Rosie. I've got them saying that they think it's important.
Being in law enforcement, let me see, Paul. We come up with a first name different than Paul.
What's your middle name, Paul?
Joe? Joe Flowers. I find it, being in law enforcement, I see so much cruelty. I find it difficult to understand the mystery of creation. The mystery of creation. But I believe everybody should live by the teachings of Jesus Christ. You got that? That sounds typical law and order. Everybody should live by the teachings of Jesus Christ. And his wife should say, God is the Heavenly Father.
He says, of course, in law enforcement, don't you think that she's going to ask him where?
He said, he's already told her, I can't go into it now.
Okay.
Will she
pick up
on
the
same cruelty?
He sees cruelty. He sees cruelty. Hell, law, you see cruelty, so much cruelty.
Okay, next we have Jesus.
Rosie said she believed that God's the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ is His Son. They've got to have some of this tradition in here. What's that?
Okay, Phyllis Chaykin and Jean Chaykin. I got them both the same. They don't believe in it because they're both Jewish.
I don't know. We're Jewish. We are the liberal. What is it? What is it?
Reform
Jewish position, and then just give whatever the hell it is. You people know what it is.
I personally don't know what it is.
Sort of like a Unitarian. Just believe what they
say. It's sort of like the Unitarian position. Okay.
Okay, let me have myself in the studio. I've got us both saying that we don't think much of one or another.
That wasn't belligerent.
You're close to me. What?
That wasn't belligerent. So, you know, say, no, you know, I don't believe in any God. Let my child die, you know. Or,
I know where you come off of. You come off with shit like this to make it makes me nervous about you when you get in a situation. You're a very good worker, but you come off with crazy shit. That'd be the dumb thing to say to a fucking ass reporter if you wanted to. You always ask questions before you speak when you get in a mess like that. No, I'd say I like the law. As a lawyer, he's a graduate from law school. Graduate from law school, I appreciate the law of the new Old and New Testament.
Should you assign a
what? I would like to get this done. If you folks have got really some germane things, I'm in a lot of agony. I'm just trying to get my fucking world self through it. If it's bad, then tell me it's bad when I give it to them. Yes. Throws my mind off. Oh God, God, God. And so I find myself. I think the culture, ethics and culture of Judeo-Christian tradition has built American, helped build American democracy. Sue should say, God is love. Christ means anointing. It means Jesus was the anointed Son of God. Now, I wouldn't go if you believe Jim Jones anointed. Oh, no, Jim, I don't know what he, she may find out about your dad. He never says anything about that. I think he's just my dad. Just my dad, that's all. She may dredge it up, but just say it's another one of his goddamn fantastic lives. Self-styled prophet. We never use that term. We don't use such terminology. This man, he said the stuff he wrote, read. I just don't understand how he could write that. Or others could say he's a liar. He's a liar. That's all. Yeah. And all of you have been here since that time of Ken Solomon. All of you should have been here that long. It seems to me.
Right.
Where did he write? He wrote in the Examiner. Ken Solomon wrote in the Examiner. Some kind of a reverend. Said he was very strange, though. I understood we were having a convention up in the valley that day, and he didn't even come inside our rest homes. Jack should tell about his drug. All of you now, different ones of you ought to have drug problems. The younger ones should have come from drug problems, except those in sensitive areas like law enforcement. So I instead of being in law enforcement, I'd end up in crime, though, if it hadn't been to this church.
Huh? Larry, tell the medicine because if she ever did
say that. Well, he's in. I don't know. A drug. Didn't you tell him that, or did you?
No, I didn't.
I am testing this microphone.
Softly, softly, very softly.
Testing 1, 2, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, testing, 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 testing.
A world food convention, and there's an organization called Bread for the World, which is strictly deals with hunger. They might have a local chapter. Because I know they do have various branches, and we have helped them, but I'm not sure if we did it locally or at their headquarters. But you might check on that.
Okay. So you gonna have anything this week?
Friday night, but I'm not sure whether it's gonna be business yet or not.
Okay, is there anything you think I should come, or I'd like to work with you on anything, in any projects? So you have my number.
You're right. And, let's see. I can, so you'll be here throughout the week?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And what was the woman's name?
Loretta Smith.
Loretta Smith, right. Yeah.
And then the week after, you're going to have, that's going to be Easter, right?
Right.
Or Easter, no, Easter's going to be this week. It's the 18th. And the 25th, you'll be back on Sunday.
Right.
What thing is going to be then, do you know?
When will the meeting be?
Yeah, like on Sunday, you're going to have
11. Be at 11. Or 12 would actually be a better time. Because it will be through announcements and business and that type of thing. But,
we could maybe combine that.
Sure. Well, it was a really good meeting you.
Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. And I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to Jim Jones more. I'd like to at some point.
Yeah, he's very much in demand.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I was very impressed with the
unique man. He's kind of really the kindest person I've ever met.
Express my thanks to him if you get a chance.
I will do that.
Right.
And I kind of wish you could have been here Sunday, because it was a different sort of service. It was really, it was just a real feeling of brotherhood with.
We came by, but we were late. We got there by about 1 o'clock.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, I had to go to another thing, you know.
Oh, we were on the way over, I think, to the to the Nation of Islam.
Right.
That's really been a breakthrough, you know, Dick.
Oh, that sounds good, really, you know.
It's almost unbelievable how they've turned around with slow cultivation and just, you know, working together and offering our services. Friendlies can be. I mean, we're really on close terms now, and I mean they don't have any sort of rhetoric that's hate-filled like you once heard it to be. And they're generally concerned with, working within the system for change.
Are there going to be more meetings like that?
Yes, there will. We've done it quite a few times now. In fact, Jim has been, I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but their chief minister in Chicago, Wallace D. Muhammad, who was a friend of, close friend of Malcolm X. He is going to be having a joint meeting with us, and they want, Jim to have equal billing. It's really sort of a breakthrough that will be taking place in May in Los Angeles, and then depending on how that works out, they may have one here too. But they usually have it run closed circuit throughout the country, and I don't know, a lot of good could come out of it if it works.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, like I'll keep me posted, and I'll and I'll maybe call you. When are you going down to LA? Friday?
Friday night.
Okay, maybe I'll call you before then.
Okay.
And when are you getting out another newspaper? The earthquake.
Working on one now. And it should be out by the weekend, I think.
You can get, how often do you get them out?
Well, at least once a month.
And how many copies do you get out?
600,000.
Oh, really?
Yes, we have a large donation of paper. We have our own press. We have people with journalistic experience who are donating their time. You know, when they get off their regular jobs, they donate time and putting it together. And also we have members from our church who distribute it, and it goes throughout the city. So we want to reach people with news that is really an alternative that hopefully they want to hear about.
600,000 copies he's got all over San Francisco.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah. I think it's more in the Chronicle.
Yeah, sure. Would you be interested in articles like that? You know, if we could supply them, not of a political nature, but I mean articles like things of what's going on. Like, for example, I had a recent meeting with Dellums, and we talked about some of the real dangers of the suppression of the congressional investigation of covert activities.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wish he could come and speak about that. When did you talk with him?
Oh, I'd love to. I talked to him about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
And he was very concerned about that.
Is he in town?
No, he's not now.
No, he was then?
He was, yeah.
Yeah. Because I'd like... He should... I think he's been here, but...
Well, he's a great speaker.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'll... see if when he'll be back. Do you know when he'll be back next?
Let's see. We tried to get him to come out to speak at one of our functions on the 16th, but he thought he might be able to make it, but he couldn't. So I don't know when he'll be out again.
Yeah.
He comes out, about once a month.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of mine, so I think...
He is?
Yeah. He's supporting me.
Good. Good. Well, yeah, if next time you talk to him, you could suggest that, you know, we'd like to meet him, have him meet our people, because our people support him.
Yeah, I think he's one of the most honest congressmen.
He's well aware of our support, but he needs to, I think it'd be good for him to see it.
Would you like an article on that?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. When's your deadline for the thing?
Let's see. I think it's probably over for this issue. It's already been, it's already been composed and it's ready to go to press.
Oh, okay. When's the next one going to be out?
And the next one, it'll be for sure within, within a month, hopefully sooner.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can
But the paper will be, that was just the first issue that you saw, and so...
It was good. I thought it was very good.
Well, that's encouraging, because we want to make it longer and, better quality in the future. It was, got out pretty hastily,
mm-hmm.
but we want to, increase it and, make it better as far as the amount and the range of things that it appeals to. So, I think, we're going to be, we're asking for any kind of contributions like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, whatever space will allow, we'll print.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. But I think that would be, because I think this is one of the most important issues in this country. For example, is that if Congress, let's say Congress investigates, the FBI and the CIA, and Dellums himself couldn't even see the full report of the investigation, and he was one of the key members of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sat in Ford's office, and it was never released. The press hasn't talked about that in regular media. And I guess something that's really, dangerous.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. And, there's really a climate in the country that there's no telling where it's headed. If something like Senate Bill 1 can get proposed, and a lot of congressmen not even read it because it's so long.
Mm, sure.
What was it, 750 pages?
Sure.
And,
that's really dangerous stuff in there.
Well, it would have virtually set up a police state if it's passed.
I would like to talk on that sometime, in this whole, which is a key part of the campaign, is calling for investigation of the covert activities in California, for example, the Secret Army Organization, which is directly supported by the FBI. There's proof of that. And, they bombed churches down in San Diego.
Yes.
And what, see, this is one of the dangers. What they're going to do is set up quasi agencies, like the secret army organization, which are not directly working for the government, but they're infiltrated. And they use them to assassinate people on the left.
Yeah.
You know? And I, you know, call for a full investigation of that.
Yeah. Well, that's something, you know, we want to know about and become enlightened about.
Okay, I'll, you know...
We feel we have a duty to, you know, be informed. And this is, you know, part of our program.
Yeah. I'll work something up for your next next issue, and I'll be looking forward to seeing, you know, the next one you got out.
Okay.
And I'll probably get back to you probably in the middle of the week.
Fine.
Okay?
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Mike.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, hi, Bonnie. Would you tell him if he wants to get hold of the church for anything or wants to talk to Miss Tomkes, there's one line that gets through.
Oh, you have one of those, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the moment, everything's on the blink over there.
Oh, really?
931-5780.
5780. Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. That's okay. Like, kind of like this one I gave you.
Oh.
It's sort of a get-through-to number.
I have called Cuba
and
left word at the Riviera Hotel, but he hasn't returned my call yet. I called about 6:30 this morning. Uh-huh. I was sure he'd
catch you. Oh, you were a pearly bird.
Yeah, that's unusual for me.
Me too.
But I didn't catch him, and I left word with the hotel. But I did talk to Mr. Rizzo, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it would be imperative for him to be on the list. Cause Dr. Grillet could easily arrange it if I could get to him.
Yeah. Now, is there a group flight going out from here?
No.
Or they just make it to Jamaica?
Oh, no. It's just a handful of people going on this lap.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, maybe three or four. And the flight out of Havana, I mean, out
Kingston.
To Havana... is at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that easy to make connections.
Yeah, well, that's what...
to get to Kingston, I think sometimes you arrive at 1:15.
Yeah, well, this is why I was trying to figure out how to get Don, what, I guess to New York and then to Kingston?
Yeah. When we looked into it, there was one leaving from something like Newark.
Mm-hmm.
And it... it flew directly to Kingston mm-hmm. from Newark. And that would give him, I think, plenty of time.
Yeah, well, I was just going to see if there's anybody else going from here. You know, that would give me an idea.
Oh, I know. There isn't.
Yeah.
There isn't. So, I just don't know what to do until Dr. Goodlett calls. I'm sure he will.
Yeah. Oh, I have, too.
If he gets the message, he may be out in the back country chopping sugar cane or something. Although that would be strictly out of character.
Well, that's for down there.
Oh, he's got a bad back.
So. Oh, that's not too good.
No.
No, he shouldn't be doing that then, definitely.
No.
So, well, then I guess maybe I better go ahead and try to set up something.
Why don't you set it all up and we'll hope he calls? Because if he does call, he can easily send a wire to the proper people, even tomorrow.
Yeah.
To Kingston.
Yeah, because I would imagine Don would have, you know, I don't think we should have Don leave until we're sure, though.
I rather think so, too. It's a long trip to
Jamaica.
For nothing.
Yeah, and maybe there and have to come back wouldn't be too good.
Yeah.
So.
His name definitely was not on the list
that
I can recall.
Okay.
Although unless, Jim can't remember whether or not he gave it to
Carlton.
When he left. It's funny how these things usually work out all right.
Oh,
just sitting here, it seems.
It will.
But I think we'd better wait for him to call.
Yeah, well, I'll go ahead and try to make some reservations with some sort of. Do you know which airline it was that flies there? Do you remember? You weren't.
Do you have a travel agent? Because we have a very good one we use, and she's sort of up on this trip because she just got him some tickets.
Okay, maybe I ought to check through her then.
It's the Jackson Travel.
Jackson
on Polk Street.
Okay, I'll check. I usually don't get into travel stuff, so I'll have to, you know, I'll
double
check.
Oh, well, they'll do it all for you. Just tell them they have to make a 130 connection, see?
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll check with them.
And their number is 928-2501. Ask for Marcia.
Marcia. Uh-huh. Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay, then I'll go ahead and check it out and find Don and let him know what's happening.
Oh, yeah, he's all packed anyway.
Oh, yeah, he's ready to go and he's got all of his stuff.
Okay.
So that's no problem. No shots.
All right. Now, how about the malpractice?
Now, in what regard?
Well, I had a good talk with Jim last evening, and he asked how the status of it was, and I said it hadn't gone through yet. He was a little surprised.
Well,
so maybe we better push it.
Well, until we get, you know, I guess it's in Ron. Now, have you written to Ron Newpower?
No. I'll call him up.
Yeah, because I think all he's waiting for is that letter from you saying that they're employed.
Well, then I can do that immediately.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that right
now.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, that they're supervised and employed or they're remunerated.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right.
All right.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Due to lack of interim funding until the 1st of July, basically. Did John tell you this?
No, he didn't. At that time, he didn't know.
Okay, well, what happened is that due to rising costs and everything on medical malpractice, et cetera, we came up a couple of months short in our money. And we used the Bufano money that we raised, which you people so graciously contributed to, et cetera, and we dumped $5,000 into that, and we received $5,000 from the San Francisco Foundation as temporary funding. And we basically have now received assurances from the city of San Francisco of $15,000 as of July 1, and also from UBAC of, we think it's going to be around 20. It was 35 we asked for, but we reduced it by 15 because we got the other 15 from the city. So as of July 1, the clinic will be able to stand basically on its own with, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 for outside contributions.
So you'll be closed till then?
No. We're desperately working with other foundations right now we need another $10,105 to open a clinic on the 16th of April. We gave everybody a two-week vacation is what we did. Whether they wanted it or not, we didn't have a choice. And on the 16th, if we come up with this additional money, we will open up on the 16th. If not, the clinic will be closed at least till July 1st, and maybe completely, because we'll lose our staff. We'd have to restaff. We'd lose a lot of our patients. It'd be very difficult to, you know, to put the thing back together again. And right now, we have continuing support by Presbyterian. For administrative and medical, but, you know, we don't know what's going to happen July 1.
So you got 2 weeks to come up with $10,000?
We got about a week and a week and a half, yeah.
Yeah, and let's see, what happened to United Way? Weren't you trying to get funds from them?
We are trying to get, as I said, right now we're applying for emergency funds for United Way. We're applying for some private funds. We're talking again to the San Francisco Foundation. You know, but everybody's got, it's like catch 22, you know, well, we meet on such and such a date, or we do this, or we do that, and we have not received any firm commitment, although of a lot of interest. So as we stand right now, we're just kind of waiting.
Right.
It's kind of a limbo period here. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, maybe we'll get two or three people at once saying, yeah, we're going to help you. Maybe we won't get anybody.
Yeah.
But we're really working hard on this thing, and we got a lot of people pushing and pulling, and so we'll just see what happens.
Okay, I'm glad you let me know. We've got, a paper going out, a newspaper we started in.
Uh-huh.
We want to try and get that in there. I hope I miss the deadline. If so, let's see when the next one will be coming out. I'm not sure. Right now it's not on a regular schedule.
Uh-huh.
But it's going throughout the community.
Throughout the community, yeah.
And
there's been quite a bit of press on it. We've got a lot of play at the papers and TV. We had a news conference. 4, 5, and 7 were there. and we're getting response from the community, but nothing positive yet.
Yeah. When was the news conference?
We had our news conference a week before the 1st, so it's around, what, the 27th or something like that. It said that we're going to shut down on the 1st if we don't receive money.
I see.
And we've had some private contributions come in, but, you know, $10 here, $5 there, $50, nothing of any great shakes that we can count on. So we've marked all this money, and if the clinic does stay closed, we'll return all this money to the various people who've contributed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me communicate this to some people. And.
Okay. Any assistance would be greatly appreciated.
Okay.
In fact, we appreciate your inquiry.
What was your name?
Bill Lenson. I'm the president of the board.
How do you spell that?
L-E-N-S-O-N.
Okay. Thanks so much, Bill.
Okay. Thank
Talk
you.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.